Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of I Have No Idea, the podcast where we take baby steps through life so we can properly grow and glow. As I always say, it's been a while, and I haven't really known what to talk about, but I finally found a topic. I guess I really can't say finally, because I knew I was going to talk about this sooner or later. I just had to get the courage to talk about it. This episode is going to be about generalized anxiety disorder. And I chose that topic because I live with it. I've been living with generalized anxiety disorder, or GAD, for, I want to say, a couple of years now. Maybe almost five at this point. And it's something that I don't really talk about. I'm a little embarrassed to talk about it. I feel like anxiety has become this buzzword lately, so while you can get anxiety here and there, generalized anxiety disorder is always there. And I want to talk about it. I wanted to let people know, I guess, what it's like dealing with a disorder or a mental disorder. So we're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to jump right into it. And we are back. Like I said in the intro, this episode is going to be about me living with generalized anxiety disorder and how that manifests in my life. And I guess the symptoms, the differences between anxiety and generalized anxiety disorder. So, let me read you a description of generalized anxiety disorder from the National Institute of Mental Health. Generalized anxiety disorder usually involves a persistent feeling of anxiety or dread, which can interfere with daily life. It is not the same as occasionally worrying about things or experiencing anxiety due to stressful life events. People living with GAD experience frequent anxiety for months, if not years. And I wanted to read that definition because, like I said in the intro, anxiety has been a buzzword lately. Like, I've noticed a lot of people being like, oh my God, this set on my anxiety, or oh my God, I'm having some anxiety about this. Just any variation of either of those. And for me, it has made me step back and not speak about my anxiety so much, because so many people are saying it now, and to me, it just lessens the disorder that I deal with. It lessens generalized anxiety disorder, because so many people are saying, oh my God, this is giving me anxiety, or oh my God, you know, them not texting me back gave me anxiety. It's, like I said, it's a buzzword. So I don't speak about it that much. I find myself only speaking about it if I have to explain some of my behaviors, or just, you know, why the way I am. One of those could be why I'm somewhat reclusive and go into what I call my shell so much. But I'm glad I found this definition. If you all want to go look it up, again, that's the National Institute of Mental Health. Now, when they said involves a persistent feeling of anxiety or dread, the only way I can describe this is I worry about everything. I'm anxious about almost everything. For example, if you text me, that sets off my anxiety. It sets off my anxiety because I'm thinking a billion thoughts. I'm thinking, how do I respond to this? I'm also thinking, I need to respond to this in a certain time so they won't be upset or, you know, think certain things. I'm also thinking, if I forget to text right then and there and it's like been like 30 minutes to an hour, I'm like, oh my God, have I missed the window to text? Or just worrying. And the reason I use text as an example is because for anyone, texting or replying to text can seem like such a small thing. Like, why are you worried about texting them back? It's because I have generalized anxiety disorder. You probably don't go through that. You probably have never dealt with it on a level that I deal with it on. It can be tough. It can be tough. A lot of times I have to power through. A lot of times I just can't do it. If it's been too long, I'm just like, ooh, I don't know what to say. I'm having so many thoughts about what to say, how to say it. Do I put an exclamation point? Do I use a period? Do I not put anything? Do I use dot, dot, dot? No, don't use dot, 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 because that seems kind of, I don't know. It's all of that. And that's just for text. We haven't even talked about leaving the house. Let me go through some symptoms. And then I'll go back and let you all know how they relate to me or how they manifest in my life. Symptoms of GAD include feeling restless, wound up, or on edge, easily fatigued, having difficulty concentrating, being irritable, having headaches, muscle aches, stomach aches, and unexplained pains. Difficulty controlling feelings of worry and having sleep problems, such as difficulty falling or staying asleep. Those are most of the symptoms of GAD. And while there are others, these will probably be some of the main ones. Let's go down the list. Feeling restless or wound up or on edge. Constantly worrying, constantly just anxious, constantly in my head, constantly thinking of everything, constantly just stuck sometimes. Being easily fatigued. A lot of times I will be just tired, exhausted, just low on energy because most of my energy is used thinking. Most of my energy is used worrying. Most of my energy is used being tense, my body being tense. So the energy I would have for just normal things, I don't, because my anxiety has taken it away. Difficulty concentrating. It's hard to concentrate when you're worrying or when you're anxious, when you're wound up, when you're restless. It's hard to focus when you're worrying about things like, oh my God, did I say hey correctly? Or did I look weird when I did this? Or did I lock the door? It can be anything, y'all. Did I respond to their email correctly? Did I seem bitchy in the text or in the email? Did I seem irritable? You're constantly worrying. So how are you going to focus on work? You make a way. Let's see. Being irritable. That comes with it too, because it's so frustrating being in a world where people aren't dealing with what you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And you have to manage all of these thoughts, all of these feelings, all of these irritabilities, anxieties, feelings. You have to manage all of that. And when people don't know what you're dealing with, it can become irritating that they expect you to operate like everyone else. You don't want to be made into a special case, but it's just this pressure. Like, I'm already worrying about 20 million things, and I also got to go out here and face the world. And it's nobody's fault. You know, it's nobody's fault. It's not even our fault or my fault. It's just, you don't want to be a burden on anyone, but you also want people to understand. Let's move on into the headaches, the muscle aches, the stomach aches, and the unexplained pains. If you've been around me, you know I'm always saying, ow, or I'm wincing with pain. This is generalized anxiety disorder. If I'm always tense and my body is always, for lack of a better word, tense, eventually that aches. And that, like right now, I haven't worked out in 2 days. And last time I worked out, it was nowhere near arms. I think I was doing legs. My arms hurt right now. My lower back is hurting. My shoulders are constantly aching because they're constantly tense. And that brings me to the stomach aches. My stomach is constantly in shambles. Of course, I'm lactose intolerant. And because of the GAD, I've developed IBS. So my eating is off. Sometimes I don't eat. Sometimes I overindulge. And it just causes a mess. So being mindful of what I eat, how much I eat, what I put into my body is also a source of stress, worry, and anxiety. So it kind of plays upon itself. Like, sometimes I feel like my body is fighting itself. Like, I have a stomach ache because I'm worrying, but I'm worrying because I have generalized anxiety disorder. So it's like a cycle, very unpleasant cycle. And I get headaches sometimes, so I think that just comes with the worrying and the anxiety. Like, I'm thinking all these thoughts in my head, and eventually my head is going to hurt. Moving on to difficulty controlling feelings of worry. I think we've already touched on that a bit. Let's move on. Okay, the sleep problems. I can't remember the last time I got 8 hours of rest without a Benadryl, Z-Quil, NyQuil, or even a shot. Or even smoking. So, and even when I go to sleep, it's hard to stay asleep. It's like I will wake up and immediately start worrying. It's like, I don't know if some of you, because I don't know how this is. I don't know if some of you can just wake up and just be like, la, 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 today's great. Not me. I'm waking up like worry, 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 stress, anxiety. That's what greets me when I wake up. So it can be very hard. And like I said, I've been dealing with this for a couple of years, and I tend to, when it gets too much, like a couple of days ago, I had a lot of panic attacks, well, a lot of anxiety attacks, and that can, it usually starts with heart palpitations, and difficulty breathing. Then it goes into just excessive worry. And the heart palpitations and the difficulty breathing make me spiral into, oh my God, what if I suffocate? What if I can't get to anybody? And then you're having anxiety. You're having an anxiety attack and you're making it worse because of your anxiety. So wrap your head around that one. And then it's trembling. Feel like you're going to die. It really feels like a heart attack. And most of the time when I come out of that, I literally just want to sleep. And I can feel them coming on because I will usually just, like the other day, I just laid on the ground because I was like, oh my God. The thoughts are just becoming too much. And I can slowly feel my heart going from a normal range, you know, heartbeat to the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then next thing you know, I'm trembling. And it can get scary. It really can. I don't take medicine for my anxiety. I chose to go the other route. I think it's the holistic route. That's part of the reason I became a yoga instructor, because I became a yoga instructor, what is it, about 3 or 4 years ago. And before I became a yoga instructor, I was on some anxiety medication, Buspirone, I think that's how you pronounce it. But I didn't like the way it made me feel. It made me feel like I was just floating through life. And kind of like out of it, foggy. And I didn't like that. So I was like, let me try something else. Let me try some yoga, ashwagandha, meditation, those things. And those things help. They really do. Lately, I've been having a battle with myself about whether I want to go back to the medicine, or maybe I need to just increase my holistic practices. The jury's still out on that. But as I said, like a couple of days ago, I did have a series of anxiety attacks by myself. I did not want to worry my mom or, you know, my friends. So I just sat up in my room and toughed it out. It felt horrible. It felt so lonely. And I don't like it. I hate it. If I could get rid of this, I would. I wouldn't wish GAD on anyone. But I still, you know, push through, go through life, accomplish my goals, make mistakes, learn from them, all that jazz. After I had those anxiety attacks a couple of days ago, I was like, you know what? I want to talk about this. And I always want to talk about things close to me, things that I can relate to, because I don't want to be just be talking about anything. And I always have this thought in the back of my head where it's like, if you're dealing with this, who knows who else is dealing with this? So I want to get it out there. While it is hard and we deal with so much, the worry, the anxiousness, the nervousness, the crazy thoughts. Well, let me not say crazy. The invading thoughts, the restlessness, being irritable, distracted, not able to sleep or relax. All of that can be a lot. And we haven't even talked about the loss of appetite, the constant what if thoughts, and the constant worry that you're a burden or people seeing through what you think is managing your GAD. Like, oh, I got this. Can't nobody tell? And you're worrying. I bet they can. I bet they're like, damn, what the hell is wrong with him? Like, it gets like that. It's a journey. I'll say that. My friends are very supportive. When I first found out, I did like send my family things like, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. Read up on it. Because I always want people to be aware. I do. Even if I had diabetes, I would do the same thing. I would say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. So if you see me not grabbing a fried chicken, this is why. Or when it comes to anxiety, the reason I did that was because, well, let me not just say anxiety. When it comes to GAD, the reason I sent my family and friends like the information was because I wanted them to know, like, this is what I'm dealing with. So if I appear a little awkward when we talk, or if I appear distant, or if I appear worried or stressed or irritable, it's not you. Most of the time it's me, and it's what's in my head. And I feel like the more we educate each other on what we're dealing with, the better we can have interactions, the better we can manage our expectations, and just the better we can live together and be there for each other. GAD has made it difficult when it comes to socializing, when it comes to work, the job hunt, or, you know, staying on a job. And it's made it difficult keeping friendships. It's made it difficult dating. And speaking of dating, I always have this thought that, what if I'm too much? What if no one wants to be with someone who has GAD? What if somebody don't want to deal with it? And there's millions or billions of quote unquote normal people out there that they could be with, and they don't have to deal with them feeling anxious about going to this place or going to that place or speaking in front of people or meeting new friends or family without being awkward or weird. So I think about that. And sometimes I cut it off before they can cut me off. Sometimes I mess it up before they can tell me you've messed this up. And I feel like I have possibly missed out on some good gems. Shoot, I probably missed out on a good one with this recent anxiety attack. On the other hand, I feel like there will be someone out there that can live with this, and that won't make me feel horrible about this, and that will really understand. But until then, the only thing I can do is show up and be my authentic self. I was recently, or maybe I still am, I don't know, talking to this guy. And when I hit those anxiety attacks, I was like, oh my God, do I tell him I had like back-to-back anxiety attacks? Do I say, you know, I just need some space, or would that freak him out? Like, what do, like, it's that stuff. It's like, it sucks. And I say it sucks because once I go through an anxiety attack, I really do have to recharge. Like, I really do have to just go in my shell, go in my bubble, and just quiet down all the stimulus, all the things, the thoughts, the pictures. I have to just focus on me. And that can be very difficult for someone to adjust to. And I get that. It does make me sad, though. It does make me sad that I could just be, I'm dealing with this. And I can't just pluck it out of my brain and be like, okay, you're done. I have to deal with it. And I have to deal with it at work, with the family, with my friends, like I said, with potential spouses, anything else I want to go into. I want to go into media, maybe like hosting or have my own show. But then I also think, like, how would I do that? And I have generalized anxiety disorder. Will my disorder allow me to be as great as I know I can be deep down inside? Or will it hold me back from the many things I want to do? And I combat that by pushing myself into spaces that I'm nervous about going into. For example, I was recently taking vocal lessons, and it was something I've always wanted to do, but I've just been so nervous and filled with anxiety that I didn't do it for a while. And I finally did it, and I loved it, still love it. I'm gonna go back. But it's a difficult thing to live with, especially in this day and age where anxiety is such a buzzword, and you're trying to tell people, no, I don't just, like, this isn't just like today. This is every day. Like, you might be having anxiety today. It might be making you anxious today, or this project that you have that you're working on for work may be really making you anxious. But that's gonna go away. But for me and people who suffer from GAD, it never goes away. It never stops. If you have that voice in your head where you can read something and you can hear the voice in your head, imagine that voice just worried about everything. Everything is a worry. You get in your car. Damn, what if this bitch blow up? What if you get pulled over? What if your tire blow out? What if your car just stopped working? What if you get hit? What if you get in an accident? Just all of those worries, they come. And you can't really do anything about them other than breathe and push forward. And sometimes I think, like, when I show up to events for, like, my friends or, like, even myself, I'm like, damn, nobody knows how difficult it was for me to get here. Or no one knows the special way I have to get ready to lessen my anxiety. But I'm here, and I'm happy I'm here, and I'm glad I'm here most times. And I'll be honest, it's very lonely dealing with this. A lot of times people will come at me and be like, oh, you know, you just stop worrying. Or, you know, it's going to be fine. Calm down. Don't stress about this. Don't be, you know, it's going to be okay. And I'm like, that does not compute for me. It doesn't compute. It's going to be okay. Stop worrying. Chill out. Calm down. How? And then something else with generalized anxiety disorder is you become hyper vigilant. It's like a power you didn't ask for. Like being aware of everything. How you talk, how you walk, how you're eating, how you're phrasing things, if you're blinking too much, what you're wearing, what they're wearing, what's going on 20 feet away from you, what's going on 10 feet behind you, what's going on in front of you, like being hyper aware, hyper vigilant of everything. And then thinking about that thing, or thinking about those things, or worrying about those things. It's tiring. So, like, when I'm tired, or I tell my friends that, you know, I'm not going to come to this, or I'm just going to chill out at home, I'm tired, it's because my brain is constantly thinking. Sometimes I envision it like someone on a cash register just constantly punching stuff in, like constantly. It's literally no downtime. From the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep, I'm anxious. I'm filled with anxiety. Even right now, as I'm recording this, I'm thinking about so many other things. Shit, I'm thinking about if I lock my damn doors to my car. I'm thinking about if my mom can hear me recording this in the next room. Like, I'm worried about that. Even, like, when I had my anxiety attacks the other day, a couple of days ago, I was literally sitting here shaking, trembling, crying, not really eating anything. And I was in my head, but I was also thinking, damn, I hope this isn't making my mom or my niece and nephews feel like I don't want to interact with them. In the middle of an anxiety attack, I'm worried about something like that. Like, it's a lot. It really is. And that's why I seclude myself so much. That's why I sit up in my room, or I go to Shelby Farms and just sit out on the grass. Shoot, I did that today. Even though the grass was kind of wet, with my damn pants up. But sometimes I just need to recharge. And when I find myself stuck in my room, I will tell myself, look, I know we're dealing with this, but you need to get outside and get some fresh air, get some sunshine, get some food, use your legs for more than walking to the bathroom and walking back to the bed. So I will force myself to get up. So if you see me at the park or at the gym, that's me forcing myself. That's me making myself get up and fight back against this. Because I didn't ask for this. These are just the cards that I'm dealt. And I have things to do. I have dreams to accomplish, more dreams to accomplish. And I can't let this disorder hold me back. I'm not going to let it. Sometimes I do think about the people I've lost, the friendships, the connections with family, the relationships, the possible relationships. And again, like I said earlier, it sucks. But I have to keep presenting me and who I am in all of my glory, from the beauty to the booty to the generalized anxiety disorder. I have to present all of that. And the right people will stay and the wrong people will go. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest, sometimes I want the wrong people to stay because I'm just so used to them being there. But I always have to hold on to, if they were meant to be here, they would be here. If it was meant to be, it would be. And to combat that, the only thing I can do is try to get better and hold a space at my table for them. So if they do want to come back. I know it's difficult for some people to deal with. I mean, some people just want quote unquote normal people in their lives. They don't have the space or capacity to deal with people with mental disorders. And some people might be like, well, that's wrong. I don't know what people are dealing with. They may have their hands full with a whole bunch of other stuff. They might be at capacity. And I might have come into their life just at the wrong moment when they're at capacity. If a chair opens up, a chair opens up. I can't do nothing about that. But I want to talk to you all about it because I haven't. And I am shaking. I don't know if you can tell the difference in my voice, but I'm not that comfortable talking about this, but I'm glad I did. I think more people should go get checked for anxiety or generalized anxiety disorder or any type of psychological disorder, from autism to ADHD to OCD. I think we should all get checked out. Maybe that person isn't weird. Maybe they have OCD, and having OCD doesn't make you weird. Maybe that person isn't two-faced, or maybe that person isn't unstable, or some of the words we like to use, or crazy. Maybe they're dealing with bipolar disorder. Maybe they're dealing with borderline personality disorder. I just feel like there's a reason for everything, whether you come from trauma or whether you are dealing with a mental disorder. And I'm always one championing and fighting for the weirdos, the unnormals, because we're amazing. We got some stuff to deal with. We've been through some things, but we're still amazing. We're still great people. We just been through some shit. Maybe more shit than others, or maybe the shit we went through, we didn't know how to deal with it, or how to fight through it, or how to navigate it. Again, this is, I have no idea, I'm taking baby steps through life. And on this journey of GAD, I'm learning so much. I'm learning how to live with it, how to educate people on it, and how to become better. it even made me realize that I was hyper independent and I was trying to do so much for myself, and that was a trauma response, and that was tied to my generalized anxiety disorder. Because if I can be hyper independent and handle everything on my own, I don't have to be so anxious about if folks are going to do it right, or if they're going to do it the way I would do it, or if they would just do it in a way that would settle my anxieties. So it's been a journey, and like I said, I've discovered some amazing things. If you have gotten anything from this episode, I want you to take away that we're all dealing with something. And the best thing you can do is be patient, be sympathetic, empathetic, and seek knowledge. If anyone close to you has told you that they're dealing with anything from diabetes to high blood pressure to bipolar or depression, look it up. We walk around with these smart phones in our hands every day. Google is usually a tap away. Type in depression symptoms, depression treatments, depression, how can I help? And do the same with any other thing. If someone is telling you what they're dealing with, be an asset. Be an asset or get out the way. It takes nothing to punch in generalized anxiety disorder in your Google search and to go to anywhere from the Mayo Clinic to Psychology Today to National Institute of Mental Health. That doesn't take anything, but it means everything to people who are dealing with this or dealing with something, anything. So I hope you all can take that away from this episode. And I hope me opening up about this explains myself to more people. If I have come off awkward or shy or tongue-tied or I stutter or just overall kind of weird, hopefully this will help explain where that can come from and why I am the way I am. I'm not looking for pity or sympathy. I'm looking to spread information, and I'm looking for understanding. So, thank you for listening, and I'll be back soon. Bye.